This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for the Ash Wednesday edition of this program. And our guest is Lieutenant General Russell Luke Honoré, retired as the 33rd Commanding General of the U.S. First Army in Georgia, best known for serving as commander of the Joint Task Force Katrina, and now leading a Green Army through Louisiana. We'll talk with the general about what's happening in his home state where we are situated as we prepare for a legislative session, and the general plans on being a frequent visitor to the Capitol. We'll discuss with him about the political elements of environmentalism and where we go from here, including the U.S. involvement in the conflict in Ukraine. All this with General Honoré, but first the news on WRKF. This is Jim Engster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number outside the area. It is 877-217-5757. You may reach us by email, inkstershow@wrkf.org. And we're joined in studio this hour by General Russell Honoré, best known for his leadership during the crisis that was Katrina, but still very active, now retired from the U.S. Army, but extremely active in Louisiana life and in Louisiana politics. The session opens Monday, and the general is leading a Green Army. Tell us about your Green Army.
Well, thanks, Jim. The purpose of the Green Army is to pull together environmental groups, some of them that have been advocacy for environmental justice in Louisiana 20, 30 years, that represent the people that, and with a focus toward protecting our water. We think we have a human right to clean water, clean air, safe food, and safe land. And many times that the interests of the people, meaning the protection of those gifts from Mother Nature, water, air, land, and food, is being threatened by the very industry that drives our economy. And as such, we need to have a balance. We want them to fix what they break, clean up after themselves, and treat the people in the community like they lived there, meaning air monitoring systems and making sure the water is not polluted.
And you have lauded John Berry, who will be back with us next week on this show, the author of Rising Tide, who brought Louisiana coastal erosion to a new level of discussion, and he backed it up with his position on a levee board. He's no longer a member, by the way, because Governor Jindal sought to have him removed, and it was because John Berry led the fight successfully to have a lawsuit filed against the oil and gas industry. You think that's a good idea. Why?
Well, our recourse in this democracy, when things don't work, is the courts. And it's one of the institutions that is a hallmark of a democracy, a fair and balanced court. It's a place where the people get to go express their constitutional right for collective security and the rights of the people to be represented when things are not going right. In this particular case, left to its own, nothing would happen as far as the coastal restoration. The state has a coastal restoration plan that's about $50 billion. You think the federal government's going to give us $50 billion? I mean, they gave us like $114 billion to do Katrina. Mm-hmm. I don't see that money. The people of Louisiana don't have the money to pay for it. And when the extraction companies signed the permits that they were going to do exploration in the wetlands, in that permit they signed that they would close those canals. Our lax Louisiana laws has not forced them to do it. Matter of fact, some of our laws have given them the right to leave those canals open because in Louisiana, you don't have to sign, have a bond to do oil well or do exploration work. Thus, a lot of these companies go broke and the state get left holding the bag with over 6,000 abandoned oil wells, some of them in that wetlands. So we think we are on the right side of what's right for our people and for Mother Nature. Because if we don't do something, we'll lose our wetlands. And when they signed those permits, they said they were going to close them. And they're not closing because the legislature tell them If they sign a piece of paper telling they might go back, they don't have to close it. This has been going on for 50, 60 years.
Well, State Senator Robert Adley of Benton has filed an ethics complaint with the state Supreme Court against the 19th Judicial District Court Judge Janice Clark. This is related to a recent fundraiser for Judge Clark hosted by 37 lawyers, among them Baton Rouge's Wade Shows, who represented Buddy Caldwell in this case regarding the suit against the state or against the oil and gas industry. And, of course, Buddy Caldwell represents the state in these cases. But Judge Clark presided over 2 days of hearings, June 24th and 25th, had a fundraiser on the 27th, and the case continues in her court on Monday. But 37 lawyers who hosted this, many of them, I'm sure, have had cases before Judge Clark, not just Mr. Shows. Is this showmanship or is this substance? What do you think?
This is a democracy.
All right.
It ain't pretty, but at the end of the day, it works. We'll let this take its course, is what I say. I do say this, Mr. Adley, Senator Adley is a very active advocate for the oil and gas business, and he works hard to, but he's an oil and gas man. He's a businessman that get to lobby fellow legislators on the state legislation floor, in which speak to the point of maybe the questions we ought to ask, can he be an advocate for the oil and gas business, being a businessman that sell natural gas throughout the state to municipalities and parishes, and also represent the people. So I'm just asking. That's a big question we've got
to
go
after. There may be an ethical issue on the other side.
Well, I don't know. I've read one paper where he's received over $100,000 in campaign donations from oil and gas companies in the last 4 years. So I know he think he's doing the right thing for his constituents. The question is he doing the right thing for the state? Because he is a big advocate of the oil and gas industry on the floor of the Louisiana legislature. And we just hope there's balance in the democracy work and the people get their day in court.
297-5633 is your number. And Robert Adley's been a lawmaker for a long time. And he had John Berry before a committee not so long ago and roughed him up pretty good. Will you be going before legislative committees this session?
With any luck, time permitting, and I'm still breathing. Yeah, we'll be there. I mean, we're representing the people. I'm a non-paid volunteer. The Green Army doesn't have an address or nor does it have any paid employees. We're an advocate for the people, and the strongest weapon we got is grandmothers. You know what I've learned about being in this environmental business? I was with about 120 teachers a week ago in Shreveport, and 95% of them were women because they care about Mother Nature, our clean air, clean water, safe food, and safe land for our people and to save our culture. So, yes, I will be there, and we will be representing the people, and we ask everybody to get involved starting this Saturday at 1 o'clock at the state capitol where we will be talking water and creating our first Louisiana Water Festival to make sure that the legislators understand they cannot come out of this session without something to protect our water.
So who will be filing bills on behalf of the Green Army?
That is still being worked. The bills have been signed, but I need to give those legislators a little bit of time to work them as opposed to me publicly announcing them here today. But we have filed bills on everything from salt domes. We want the salt domes to be transparent. We want the state to monitor what's in the salt domes. We want to know how much money the state should be receiving from the salt domes. You know, Assumption Parish had to go to a company in Texas to hire somebody to figure out what was in the Napoleonville salt dome. When they found out, come to find out, the company's whole Assumption Parish, a poor parish, $15 million that they hadn't paid. The same thing going on in Iberia Parish because the state allowed these companies to self-regulate. And that's what the people of Louisiana, is that okay for these companies to come in here, do what they want, by state law? All the companies will tell you, we're just following state law. Contributions of the Louisiana legislators.
297-5633 is your number, and Robert Adley is a worthy adversary, like the general, a military veteran. He was in the U.S. Marine Corps 2 years, 65 to 67, went to Vietnam, and you and Adley fought for our country, but other members of your generation, people like George Bush and Bill Clinton and Dick Cheney and Joe Biden, they found ways to hang out on the sidelines during the Vietnam War. Does that bother you at all, that these leaders and national and state life did not fight as you did?
No, sir, that doesn't bother me. We got, you know, I've served for 37 years, 3 months and 3 days. There are people who serve this country and serve it well by ensuring that the Constitution of the United States is followed. Some of them do it in uniform. Some don't come back. But on every given day, we've got first responders. We've got teachers. Everybody's a part of this, even elected officials. This democracy wouldn't work without elected officials, people taking up their own time to come to Baton Rouge and spend 2 or 3 months here representing their people. We just want them to make sure they're representing their people and not representing a company or their business that they're in. And that's the challenge we've got in Louisiana. And it's been said many times that all flag fly over the state capitol, and we want to take that flag down. We want them to represent the people.
Well, that's fair enough. But when you take people like Bush and Cheney, who were people who sent U.S. service men and women to Afghanistan and to Iraq, and yet did not want to serve in combat during their time, do they have any credibility when it comes to matters of war?
Well, we're in two wars. We're about to finish up. I mean, again, the democracy is not perfect, but it works. The people had a chance. The people voted. They elected who we wanted, just as we've done in Louisiana. We've elected everybody that's in that legislature and running this state and been elected beside the appointed people. We just want to make sure they're on our side. And because people participate in this democracy for collective security. That's why we bought into 237 years ago this form of government. We want to make sure our legislators are representing us and not business. As far as do people have the moral authority to lead if they've not been to war, I think throughout history we've been led by people, those that have been in uniform, those that have served, and those that have not. At the end of the day, it's the American people that will decide what happens in America.
Okay, well, if you run for governor, and I know a lot of people are encouraging you, you'll be in a race with a West Point guy and John Bell Edwards, who'll be on this show tomorrow if things go according to form. You'll be in there with Jay Darden, who was born in 1954, Vietnam age, but did not serve. You'd be in there with John Kennedy, perhaps, 1951, Vietnam age, did not serve. David Vitter, born in 1961, too young for Vietnam. Does it matter? Should it matter for the electorate on when they're making a choice for a leader about people who served like you and others who did not?
Well, just let me say this. When I'm at the gas station pumping gas, somebody will walk up and say, "General, you going to run?" And I try to give that little smile, kind of nudge my shoulders, and play the question off. And the next question is, "Where are you on guns? Where are you on abortion?" You know, I said, I would prefer if you asked me, where are we on roads? Because we got a capital city that's got an interstate with one lane on it. You can't get in this state. You can't get out of it. I would prefer you ask me about where we are on education. We're the fourth largest energy producer in America, but we're not at the top four of education, roads, health care, or social services for people with problems. So I prefer you ask me about that. But as long as the agenda in Louisiana is driven by abortion and guns, I'm not quite sure if a platform that I could put together would even have a fighting chance of getting off the ground, Jim.
Well, you didn't answer my question about the military service, but this is a man who wrote a best-selling book called Leadership in the New Normal, so he knows something about leadership, and you're not saying absolutely no. You're just saying that you might not be the kind of candidate who would be palatable to the electorate, at least some portions of the electorate, but it doesn't sound like you're saying absolutely not.
Well, my priority right now is environmental justice.
You're sounding like Bobby Jindal. I've got the job I want, right?
Save the water, save the air, save our culture, because if we lose our water and our air, we'll lose our culture because our food would no longer be safe. We will not be able to go out crappie fishing and catch crawfish in the Chaffalot Basin. I got a call last week from the wild crawfishermen in the Chaffalot Basin.
Back in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number. Outside the area, it's 877-217-5757 for General Russell Luke Honoré. Perhaps a politico at some point, but right now just a prominent Louisiana citizen, one of the best-known people in our state, and he has formed the Green Army. Who composes the Green Army?
Well, I'm scared to miss one of the groups, but they're established environmental groups that have been working in the state for 20, 30 years. Sierra Club, the Louisiana Bucket Brigade, Levees.org, LEAN, the people to save Lake Panure down in Iberia Parish, the Ouachita River Basin, the River Savers outfit, the group Survivors of Bayou Corn, and the people from Grand War down in Houma are the major ones, as well as Mossville Support Group, White Castle Support Group, Norcor Support Group, Alexandria Support Group, and the brigade that we're forming up in Shreveport. So it's across the state. You know, I went to Shreveport a week ago and went out on Highway, the loop, which Shreveport have a loop, Baton Rouge doesn't. Shreveport has a loop, Baton Rouge doesn't. A loop that go around the city.
Yeah.
At exit 5, here's a dump inside of the city limit with fires burning, and the fires are burning underneath the dump, coming across the interstate, going into a poor black community. Number one, it's against federal law. They have an open fire in a dump. Number two, it's against state law. Number three, it's against city ordinance. Right up there from our friend where Senator Adley come from. Why isn't it? That's against the law. People ought to not be breathing that. So across the state is where we're working.
All right, 297-5633. Inkster's show at WRKF.org. Rick Causey writes, I've said this before, Mr. Honoré needs to be our next governor. Please run, sir. I feel a groundswell developing right here as we speak. So he's sitting right now, but he's smiling, so I don't think he's discounting it. But you have said that some of your positions might be a bit controversial, but maybe we need a little controversy. Now, nobody thought Jesse Ventura could get elected governor of Minnesota, but he did.
Yes, sir.
Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. Dan, you're on the air with the General Honoré.
Yeah, General, as far as realizing fairness for Louisiana, do you have any concern that not only the legislators, but judges might come from big oil or corporate America in general?
That's always a problem we have in our democracy. And that is why we need to have a clear understanding in Louisiana, as we do at the federal level, and that is to have a rule on recusal. Right now, you can be from a particular industry and argue for laws that you could be in the business, let's say for oil and gas, and you could get on the floor and put forth a piece of legislation that favors oil and gas, things like tax exemptions. You know, if we didn't give away so much tax exemption, we wouldn't have a problem funding TOPS. We wouldn't have a problem. We would have the best schools in the state. We could have two teachers in every school, pre-K through 12. But we give all our money away in tax exemption. So I do think that influence has had a very detrimental impact on Louisiana. Again, fourth largest energy producer in the nation. We ought to be at the top of every list in the top four. Because we got the resources. We have a blessing from Mother Nature gave us. And you know what? We're not taking advantage of that. We're letting the companies have it as opposed to making sure we've got the infrastructure to take care of our people as well as to run a good state. But, yeah, that influence can have a negative impact on a democracy. That's why the press has to do their job. The only thing that keep a democracy straight is transparency through the press. A democracy without transparency could be like a Putin-style democracy.
And we're going to get to Vladimir Vladimirovich Putin as we continue the conversation with General Honoré. But we'd like to get your take about what's happening locally and in Ukraine. 297-5633 is your number. Philip on the North Shore. Philip, good morning. You're on with General Honore.
Well, I have a very local question. You know, our license plate, it's a Sportsman's Paradise. I live on the North Shore, and I have not been able to find any place where I can purchase locally caught, fresh seafood of any sort, from shrimp to tilapia. There's nothing that's local. And I wonder why that's the case.
Well, I'm sure somebody will be calling in here in a minute from Louisiana Seafood Board that was established and funded through billions of dollars from BP. But Sarah, let me just say this. Lake Pontchartrain was a septic mess until the citizens that live along the lake took actions against the Louisiana legislator, who was proud of the fact that people were basically mining that lake and almost destroyed it. Because of the actions of people like you, you can fish in that lake now, and you can go boating in that lake. And it goes to show, because when these people got started, everybody told them, you'll never win. And you know what? Lake Pontchartrain is a healthier lake today. I cannot answer your question on availability of seafood, but and I hope that somebody will call in. But much of this could be because of the impact we've had. We've had Katrina came through, had a major impact. Then we had follow-up with other storm. And we've got 6,000 abandoned oil wells, many of them along the wetlands of Louisiana, and the BP disaster came. So all that could have had an effect, but I do not have the facts to give you on that. But you share a concern because it come down to clean water. And if you're concerned about clean water, please come to the state capitol this Saturday, 1 to 3, and we're going to talk about how we're going to save our water, because clean water is one of the key ingredients to safe, tasty seafood.
That's 1 to 3 this Saturday.
Yes, sir. 8 March. State Capitol, 1 to 3 p.m.
8 March.
Yes, sir.
General Honore will be there. The 43rd anniversary of the first Ali Frazier fight. Brock at Lafayette. Brock, good morning. You're on with General Honore.
Thank you for taking my call. General Honore, I just wanted to thank you for all the good work you're doing. I heard you speaking in Lafayette a few weeks ago, and I'm wondering if there are any other initiatives with the Green Army to go beyond just the political side of things and making positive impacts through direct action of, say, tree plantings and other initiatives to do more than just influence legislators, but to also do direct things in the community for greening Louisiana.
Well, that's a good question. I think we've got to change the culture in the state. Because we've had an abundance of rain, we're a green state from the perspective you put it in the ground, just about everything grow. Mm-hmm. We don't get the hard freezes other than this year, that we don't have to do that. But when I was growing up in South Louisiana in elementary school, Arbor Day was a big day. We'd go out and plant trees all over the parish in Pointe-Coupee Parish.
Wow.
Many of those trees are grown now. I do think that has to be a substantive part of what we teach our children, the importance of planting trees and sustaining it. But whatever we do have to be sustaining, Jim. That's a word that has to come off the tongue of the Louisiana lawmakers easily. If you listen to some of the lawmakers, environmental protection is a dirty word. Now, should that be a dirty word in Louisiana? We've got to change the culture in Louisiana that environmental protection is not a dirty word. All we are saying is, live by the law. Clean Water Act, Clean Air Act.
Break, right.
Fix what you break, and if you mess it up, clean up after yourself. But the issue of sustainability and doing things that are green is one we have to work on, because we want to preserve our culture.
As a wise man once said, don't get stuck on stupid.
Yes, sir.
297-5633 is your number. Charles on North Foster. Hi, Charles.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, General Honore. General, I heard you talk about Louisiana not being in the top four in health care. and also about how the media and the press is so important to democracy. I'm African American, and we're in the midst of an AIDS epidemic here in Louisiana. And yet our legislature and our governor, they don't want to seem to have a substantive discussion. They'll talk about West Niles, but they won't talk about the raging HIV epidemic. And my other question is, with the media in Louisiana being as conservative as it is and under the influence of the good Koch brothers out of Texas, what shape do you think democracy is here in Louisiana? I'll hang up and listen.
Well, democracy everywhere has always been a challenge. And I think it was Ben Franklin said it's a mess, but when you compare it to everything else, it's better than the rest. But it takes citizens. The democracy work is people engagement and an active press. And I haven't seen anybody either from the communities as far as large movement from the religious community. Mm-hmm. The last time we had a cultural shift in Louisiana when we desegregated the state. You know, and end segregation in the state.
Well, you were growing up then.
I was growing up. I was in college. I saw burnings in Baton Rouge. I saw all kind of crazy things happening. That was a big cultural shift. I think we need a cultural shift now to get our state to talk to reality of the moment. The reality of the moment, we got a lot of natural resources, yet we're the poorest state. We only outrank Mississippi. Mississippi don't have oil. How could we just be second from the bottom in economy and we produce the fourth amount of energy for the nation? That is ridiculous. We allow all this oil to come through the state. We don't tax it. Yet it uses our roads. It has impact on our health care system because people breathe the system. They may live near the plant. All that has an impact on our economy and our way of life. Look. We can do better than what we're doing and take people like the gentleman just called in and everybody that's called in to not just sit down and stew about it on your porch, but to get into your church, get into your local organization, and hold your representatives accountable. Tell them don't come back if they don't come back with something about AIDS. Tell them you don't want to see them. Go stand outside their office and say you're going to do something about AIDS and show up at the state capitol and show people you want something done about it. If that's the issue of the day in your community, as far as a concern, we have become way too easy on our politicians. Way too easy. They go out to state to say anything, like we don't know what they're saying when they leave the state. They write anything, they say anything. We got to hold them accountable for what they say and what they do.
297-5633. Will the politicians retreat from the Green Army? When the session opens on March 10th, General Honoré will be leading the charge. John in Lafayette. John, good morning. You're on the air with
General. Yes, good morning, General. Just a short comment. You have the respect of all the people of Louisiana. Very few people in our history can say that. Maybe General Chenault, maybe General Lawton Collins. But you have this respect, and people listen to what you have to say. My question really has to do, if you mentioned earlier, the tax exemptions for these large corporations. There's over $4 billion worth of them. There have been attempts in the past, even last session, to try to do away with some of them, which have been knocked down quickly by a lobby business and industry association. Will you be involved, or will you have time to be involved in trying to do something about some of these exemptions?
Yes, sir. There are particularly those that deal with the extraction business, because that's the economic driver for our state. You know, we give a fracking company 5 years exemption. The life expectancy of a fracking well is 5 years. We give a chemical company 10-year exemption on tax. And in the ninth year, if they redo their office, they get another 10 years. Well, our legislators have created that environment that give away the royalties as well as the tax that should be going on these companies to pay. One of the big Exxon, $44 billion profits, in 2013. That's a lot of profit. All we want them to do is you do work here, you create the jobs here, you need to do your part to support the state. Look, we are still driving on roads you and long laid down. Highway 30, one of the most improved industrial corridor in the nation, is driving on the roads you and long laid down. You got Highway 30, don't even have bypass lanes. you've got 10 policemen between Blue Bonnet and interstate directed traffic. You got people setting in plants for an hour trying to get off from work. Something's not right. You know, where is that money going? Where is our road money? Because we've given all the companies coming in here, billion-dollar companies, tax break. We got no money to build the road. And they're going to have tax break for 10 years.
297-5633, Roger at Baton Rouge High. Good morning, Roger. You're on with the general.
Good morning. I didn't get in on the very beginning of the program, so I may be off target with a couple of comments. I would like to say that as a resident of Baton Rouge and having worked across the state in education, I feel that the leadership of black churches as far as the subject of AIDS has been remiss. And I'd like the general's comment on that. And then a second item I'd like to see if he could address the dismantling of programs for juveniles and those with special education needs in our adult prisons under the current administration. There's been a great reduction in services. Thank you. I'll take that answer off the air.
Any response?
Well, as a citizen, you know, my opinion on taking care of people who have behavioral issues, I mean, is, you know, you judge the character of a society how we take care of the least among us.
Okay.
And we used to do that a lot better in this state. And if it's not covered by the federal government, don't expect any help from the state, is seem to be the sign outside the door. As far as supporting education and the programs that help our children, and the AIDS piece, I think all religious organizations, when they look at the bottom line of what we should be doing, you know, how we treat our neighbors and the activities, that the church is a big part of our culture in Louisiana, and much change has happened. I think the church, all the church, not just the black church, can make a positive statement and tell this legislation, don't come out of here without something dealing with AIDS and taking care of those who need mental help. Don't come out of session without it.
Well, when Governor Jindal was asked about AIDS at the Baton Rouge Press Club recently, he said that he didn't know why Louisiana led the nation, that he wasn't an epidemiologist. That was his response. I'm not an epidemiologist.
Enough said. I can't top that. Give him the mic. Let him talk.
I think he might really have some opinions, but he didn't wish to utter them in that setting, and it goes against the narrative that he's orchestrated the Louisiana miracle. The miracle has passed some people by, hasn't it?
Well, I don't know. Let the people be the judge of that.
Okay. Here's a statement from Silas Bogue as we go to the break with the general. Louisiana lawmakers have crafted the laws so that they can receive unlimited amounts of money from the oil and gas, chemical, insurance, and pharmaceutical industries and other large corporate interests, and then spend money on virtually anything they wish. Cars, clothes, suites at the Superdome, suites at LSU. We should be known as the RICO State. We'll get General Honoré's thoughts when we return. 297-5633 is your number. Back after this 90-second pause on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Frank Barnett producing. 297-5633. General Russell Honoré, kind enough to spend the full hour with us today on Ash Wednesday. Are you giving up anything for Lent?
Meat, sweets.
Really? Both?
Both.
Both of them.
And bread.
And bread.
So if you see me taking any one of those, knock me down.
Okay.
Hold me accountable.
What about the remarks from Mr. Silas Bogue as we hit the break about how Louisiana lawmakers often craft laws that are in their interest and perhaps not in the state's interest? I think that was the overwhelming sentiment that was expressed in his diatribe against lawmakers protecting special interests and taking advantage of the niceties that go with being a public official in Louisiana.
Old hand in Louisiana gave me a class a few months ago about trying to change the law in Louisiana. And he said, You know, your problem, Gerald, is a lot of legislators are lawyers mm-hmm. as a trade. And when they go back home, guess who they work for? They represent businesses. A lot of them do. And I guess it's a human condition where if you're in oil and gas as a business, when you come to the legislature, what's on your mind? Advancing oil and gas.
Well, and
the thing about the democracy, you've got to change
it.
Yeah,
and that
right.
sort of thing. Yeah.
So the thing we've got to have is a law of recusal, that they have to recuse themselves from arguing things that will affect their business. So if you're in the business, let's say if you and I were in the radio business yeah. as two legislators, we should not be allowed to go on the floor and argue for laws that advance the radio business. But in Louisiana, we don't have a law to say you can't do that. Matter of fact, it's a badge of courage to come out and say, hey, I got this passed for us, and go back home and reap the benefits of it in your business. The democracy, that was not the intent of the democracy. And the press and the people have to hold the legislators accountable. And when they don't do it, get somebody else and hold them accountable. Go stand at the front door and beat that path to the state capitol. The people's voice is heard when the people speak up. And then the people have to vote. We should have the highest voting record in the state, in the United States, because we've got so much at stake. Doing business as usual in Louisiana will no longer work. Our roads are something to be ashamed of. Mm-hmm. Our education is struggling. Our health care is struggling because of the stress on our health care system, because the businesses we have chose to invest in. And we need those businesses. We need the jobs. But one of the pieces of legislation we put in, Jim, is that every chemical plant, every refinery will have a black box, just like you have on an airplane. We want to know what was going on before, during, and after an accident. And we want a reverse 911. The people of Louisiana deserve a reverse 911. So if an accident happened after plant, you get an automatic call. And right now, our legislators won't allow that to happen.
297-5633 for Lieutenant General Russell Honore on WRKF. Sylvester on I-10. Hi, Sylvester. You're on the air.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Fine.
General Honore, I'm sorry, sir. I want to commend you for all the work that you did, George Takeda, and probably for bringing everything up to our attention now. But I'm wondering, since what kind of battle can we fight if we don't know the laws that are in existence now? We could replace the certain people, our representatives, our legislature, but we can't erase the laws that are on the books now without knowing where they are.
Yeah.
How would we go about doing that?
Well, that called me getting on that computer and pulling those laws up. Right now, our law is dealing with water. The subject of the day is a water festival coming up this Saturday. And that's the purpose of it, is to educate the people that we've been blessed with great water here, right here in Baton Rouge and five surrounding parishes. But that water is being threatened. You got to get informed. Don't assume that the people in the legislature will automatically take care of your collective security. Our water is threatened. So stay informed. Programs like this bring these topics up from all sides and talk about them. So get informed. Anything dealing with water, clean air, health care associated with that, and safe food and safe ground. Those are big issues in Louisiana. And the poorer the communities, the more they get stepped on. And we've got to be prepared to speak up collectively and individually and hold our legislators accountable. Because a lot of the laws we're living with now were created 30, 40, 50 years ago in the height of the exploration business. How many people in Louisiana know we got 6,000 abandoned oil wells? The state legislature affectionately called them orphan wells. As if, how do you get an orphan well? But that is the language to use. The people who built those, did those wells, oh, by the way, Jim, you and I, if we wanted to go do an oil well in Louisiana, guess what? We don't have to be bonded because the legislators do not require that as a standard.
Really?
You don't have to have a bond to do oil well in Louisiana. So at the end of it, you and I could dissolve the LLC, go back to Texas, and it's all done. Now the state owned it. So the state of Louisiana does charge the oil companies, but it's symbolic. A few pennies to close these oil wells, but at the rate we're going, we're going to be about 300 years before we close them all, because it's not enough. We've got to hold them accountable. But the question the gentleman asked is a good one, and we've got to have this front and center in the media, and I think the media in recent few months have been reporting all sides of these issues, that we cannot come out of this legislature the way we're going in. And water is hitting inside of DNR. We are asking that water be brought out as a separate department underneath the governor. Water is too important to Louisiana. We got the Mississippi River. We are the sentinels of the Mississippi River. And here we got water. LSU don't even have a lawyer that's an expert in water. Can you believe that? That's what the dean told me. And he would like to get a couple lawyers that are experts on water. Don't have them. We got to go for volunteer lawyers to come in to give us advice on water law. And we use the folks down out of New Orleans, out of Tulane.
Well, how's the water in Baton Rouge? Are we
got excellent water, but it's under attack. Exxon and Georgia Pacific use 50% of the water that's consumed in five parishes every day.
50%.
50%. They're legacy companies, been here a long time, built those companies using groundwater. And the Louisiana legislature gave them a law of right of capture. So if you got water underneath your ground, you can go get it. And you don't pay the state nothing. Now,
they don't pay the Louisiana bill?
They pay $5 per million gallon. Exxon uses about 22 to 25 million a day gallons. And Georgia Pacific use between 40 and 45 million gallons a day. They pay $5 a gallon. And the state of Louisiana is proud of that figure, how much they pay. What we're telling them is use river water like Dow, like all the other companies on the river, use river water. These two companies refuse to change. Georgia Pacific said, if you make us change, we'll take the jobs out of state. They're not going to take the jobs out of the trees are here. The workforce is here. 1,200 jobs up there, they said it would kill if we make them use groundwater. Look, Jim, Exxon, big Baton Rouge economy driver. We need that company. But that company need to know they need us. They need to draw water out the river. We've asked them, tell us what it takes for you to use water out of the river. Because if you don't use water out the river, the aquifer here will be drained and saltwater intrusion will destroy our clean aquifer water for Baton Rouge and the five parishes. We've got a commission that overwatch this called the Capital Area Groundwater Commission, some well-intentioned commission. Many of the people set on that board come from industry. Matter of fact, the chairman of that Capital Area Groundwater Commission last year, guess what who he represented? He was an executive from one of the companies. He's the chairman of the board. Is he going to vote on anything that would say, hey, use river water? No. Those men were appointed by the executive branch of government here. They run in the board. Mm-hmm. So that's the problem. We want to take water out of DNR. The mission of DNR is advocacy for the oil and gas business. Okay. So would you put the advocacy for oil and gas in charge of water? Because the old saying, I grew up in Poinke Pete, oil and water don't mix. So why would you have water, a subordinate agency inside of DNR? We're in charge of the Mississippi River. We're in charge of the estuaries, the Atchafalaya Basin, where the wild crawfishermen make a living and support our culture. Yet, they had to go to suit last year because a mess in the Atchafalaya Basin. We got to fix that.
297-5633 in our remaining time with General Russell Honoré. It's been 9 years almost now since Katrina, and he is still, as you can hear, a passionate and energetic spokesman. And Saturday, March 8th, he'll be at the state capitol, 1 o'clock. 1 to 3. This is on the steps of the Capitol?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And there'll be a lot of talk about water and other matters with General Honoré and his troops in the Green Army. What about the troops that are circling around Ukraine right now? What's going on over there?
Well, we ought not be surprised.
Why?
If anybody who's been around national security at the end of the Olympics when things started to heat up in Ukraine, that President Putin would move on and move in on Ukraine. And I'm somewhat concerned when I hear people say, well, we didn't know that was going to happen. Somebody knew. The reality of the moment is he is exercising his old Cold War tactics and techniques. The little trick about sending in thousands of paramilitary forces with no patches on.
Yeah.
This guy, we're dealing with a KGB agent who's now president of a country and been in charge, used to being in charge, like his machismo, and will continue to do what he does until the United States pick up the big stick and say, stop it. We've done it before. We'll do it again. At the time this happened, we're talking about reducing our Defense Department. We're sending a mixed message. If we're going to be the most powerful nation in the world, we got to look like it. You don't do that on a Walmart budget. A big, powerful army is the best defense for the world, not only for America. Nobody else is going to do it. That is what comes with being recognized as a global leader, is that we are prepared to act anywhere, anytime. Because if something happened, who is the world going to go to? Then it can't call Iceland. You know, they can't call.
But did we lose standing when the United States? We entered Iraq.
No, I don't think we've lost any standing.
Well, that was a misguided adventure.
Well, it was in its own right, but it doesn't mean we're perfect.
Okay.
But we act with the voice of the people. This went through the Congresses in both sessions. Everybody went along with it. If they didn't, actions would have been taken. We had some very small protests around the country, but that got inconvenient. It got in the way of football, basketball, and the World Series, and the Oscars. So tell American people, get up and speak up. Uh-huh. Things will continue as usual.
Okay, here's an email from Lee Michael, who identifies himself as a Minuteman. Where is W when we need him? He looked into Putin's eyes and instantly knew he could trust him. Very few can do this with a former KGB chief and live to tell about it.
Again, we live in a world, and this human interactions we have is something to watch. That was making life interesting.
So do you think this will be resolved without bloodshed?
I hope so, but, you know, we at any moment, we are 2 minutes from a strategic situation. All it takes is one sergeant to pop around off in the wrong direction, and the war is on, just like it did in World War One with the Archduke when he got killed. All it takes is one fool to be stupid that can ignite a continent back into armed aggression. Putin's stance, because he's now, it's not the old Russia. He's economically connected to America. And all his people with money, there's nothing to do in Russia. Right. There's no Disneyland in Russia. Okay, there's no Wall Street in Russia. They got to come out to spend that money. And I think the economic pressure, diplomatic pressure, and we need to do probably move the 6th Fleet in there and put a couple divisions on alert. We need to get our old Cold War tactics back. A lot of people say it's a waste of money, but you know what? It worked.
Well, it's a hot spot, and Russia is a formidable adversary with lots of nuclear weapons, and this is something in their backyard, but you're saying we have standing to go in there and...
I didn't say go in. We can influence. We can shape the operation.
I was surprised. The U.S. is only the 7th largest trading partner of Russia.
Yeah.
Germany is the top one.
Absolutely. So I think we need to go solo and leave NATO alone to try and get NATO. The words in NATO mean no action, talk only. We just need to leave them alone.
Well, here's a man who loves his country and loves his state, and there's no doubt about it by the words that he espouses, General Russell Honoré, who fought in Vietnam.
I didn't fight in Vietnam.
You were in the Desert Storm service during Vietnam.
So you'd be a
Vietnam-era veteran, and then you fought in Desert Storm. Mm-hmm. Okay, Bronze Star winner.
Yes, sir.
And many other honors accorded the general, who is an American born right at the end of World War II.
1947.
Yeah. Do you drive American-owned automobiles?
It's a Cadillac. Best American car, best car made in the world.
What do you think about people who drive Russian or German automobiles? You know, some of these countries were sympathetic to, or some of these companies, rather, were sympathetic to the Nazis during World War II.
You know,
should you drive a Mercedes?
Things change. I mean, you go through Alabama right now, North Carolina, you see Mercedes and BMW plants. Speaking of that, we don't have an automobile plant here in Louisiana, and we need to fix that.
Would Governor Honoré make sure that happens?
Absolutely. Well, what do you mean, Governor Honoré? No, that would be a part of one that should be a part of our state objective to get automobile.
Yeah, well, I think governors have tried. Mm-hmm. They haven't been successful.
Well, all we need to look is, why did the people say no? Did you ever come back and say why did the people say no?
Well, the Governor Jindal and Stephen Morey have been out there trying, and we might.
Well, if it could
them.
Be bought, they would have bought it. So,
well, I know Andy Anderson would like to see Tesla plants all over the state of Louisiana.
That's a good idea.
It's a good idea, isn't it? Okay. Well, General, we thank you for your service. Thank you for your time today, and happy Ash Wednesday. Good luck with that Lenten observance of not having sugar,
no sweets, no bread,
no bread,
no meat.
Okay, hopefully you won't waste away by Saturday, 1 o'clock. The general will lead the Green Army at the state capitol. Until tomorrow, for Frank Barnett, I'm Jim Engster. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.